Get out. Get out.
That's right, let's hear it. Let's keep it going for Stoddard Blackall. I totally forgot his name for a second. Sorry about that. He did the intro, and what an epic intro it is. That's one of my favorite ones. I like all of the intros that he does, but for this one, for Geek Out, he went epic.
Yeah.
The intro is pretty epic. You would know if you actually listened.
I listen to every show.
I know,
shut
I'm giving
up.
A shit about that right now. We're here to do Geek Out, Team Awesome Inc. What's up, Mike V here.
Hi.
Ready to rock your shiz and give you the biz.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do 24/7. live in large. I don't know. Is that what we do?
Doing?
Or are we street? Are we hip hop? What are we? We're going to see Tech N9ne at some point. So are we hip hop or what?
I don't think we're either of those things.
Okay, but we're cool.
Yeah.
Okay, you're cool.
Yeah.
All right, so I knew you were going to agree to that. Follow our tweets at Team Awesome Mike, like the Facebook page. Go to YouTube. Do it.
Yeah.
Simmer Mike, all caps. Like I'm shouting at you, my name in a phone book, Simma Mike. We do trailer reactions. we've got music video reactions.
Live streams.
The live streams, we're starting that up. And we're going to be doing challenge videos.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, hit us up on Stitcher Podcast Radio and iTunes, all that other shiz and biz. I love saying that enough. Get to it. Guys. It's back. We've been doing a lot of oldies but goldies segments lately. We're bringing back all the old ones, like You're Welcome Hollywood. What was the other one? Geek Out, Awesome Hypotheticals, and now we're doing another Geek Out, but this time we're doing another special edition of it. It's a subdivision of Geek Out called Conspiracy Series Theories, and it's really Conspiracy Theory Series, but I always fuck up the title. But it's Conspiracy Series Theories time again. Yeah. I don't know why I do that. And this is an interesting segment. This is near and dear to my heart and to your heart, too, because it's another horror segment. We talked about horror movies last time on Geek Out. Now we're talking about creepy internet shit. And we're talking about stuff that was fictionalized, like creepy horror movie shit that was fictionalized on the internet to the point where now it feels like it's real because it's gone so viral.
Viral urban legends.
Basically viral urban... Viral urban legends. Viral urban legends. I'm going to turn into Medea on the show. Ermagerd. So let's get to it. The viral urban legends. Well, I think we can start. Suffice to say, we're going to cover Slender Man because they got the new Slender Man movie coming out.
Yes.
We're going to get to him in a bit. I figure we can get to him fairly. I could probably save him for the last.
Okay.
But, we'll get to him, a new movie coming out about the Slender Man.
Super excited for it.
Really excited about it. We did a trailer reaction on the YouTube channel, so go check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Also, check us out on iTunes and Stitcher and all the other shit.
Instagram.
Instagram, yeah, check that out.
@team_awesomeinc, and you can also follow my tweets @creepysexynerdy.
That's right. Okay, here we go. But let's start with the very first, I think, and it's not just me. The internet agrees, and by the internet I mean Wikipedia agrees as well. The Blair Witch Project was the first of its kind to do the viral marketing. Blair Witch Project is thought to be the first widely released film marketed primarily by the internet. The film's official website featured faux police reports and newsreel-style interviews. I remember this. These augmented the film's found footage device to spark debates across the internet over whether the film was real-life documentary or a work of fiction. I was a kid when this came out. I remember going online, because I remember the internet was new. I remember we had AOL, and it was the old dial-up days, old man, some shimmer. It was bad. It was bad. The dial-up days were bad, and I had to take my AOL CD and put it into my CD-ROM drive in order to get my 8 hours of free internet and then go online and look up all the Blair Witch shit. And I went down the Blair Witch hole. I was in a bee hole. A Blair Witch hole, y'all.
Bee hole.
It was knee deep in a bee hole. Sorry.
You made it dirty.
Yeah, sorry. No, but seriously though, like, you get like you got sucked up into it because they had a timeline on the website. I remember this, and I'll just describe it as I remember it. I remember going to the website, like BlairWitchProject.com was the website, I believe. If not, I think it's still up. I think you can still go to it. It's one of those, it's like the Space Jam website for the movie is still up.
Or FearNet.
Yeah, FearNet. But again, Space Jam website, super important. Check that out. But also, I think BlairWitchProject.com might be there. It's still, and if it is, there's a timeline. I remember you could go and you could just click on any part of the timeline and show an article and you could read it. Mm-hmm. And I just remember sitting there reading this as a kid being like, oh my God, this actually happened. Like someone collected all these articles and oh my God, oh shit. This is fucked up. This movie's for real? Am I really watching this happen? Did they really die? What happened? You know, and I remember the only way you could see the movie was in the theater. And there weren't internet trailers. They didn't put trailers on the internet yet.
Mm-hmm.
That was something that they didn't start doing that for a while. I remember it was a huge, huge thing. And you would just go and you'd read about the history of the witch. And you'd read about what happened to the kids. And like you'd see like how many years apart everything was. And you just sort of get, you fall down the hole and you're like, wow, this is crazy. And then you find, and then like, it was the first of its kind. It was sort of like Orson Welles' War of the Worlds situation where you believe it.
Mm-hmm.
You believed it because it was presented in such a realistic way. And it was organic because they'd be like, oh, hey, here's the breadcrumbs to the website. You know, oh, this might be real. It might not be real. Go to the website. It'll tell you. And you're like, fuck. So you go to the website. It's like what is the Matrix? Remember that? They had the website. Whatisthematrix.com or whatever.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I think it was something like whatisthematrix.com or some bullshit. You don't remember because it was not in your frame of reference, I believe, yet.
No. Mm-hmm.
That was one of the big convincing parts about the viral marketing campaign because there was no one, there were none of the news outlets were coming and saying it's not real. They did later. But it took a while because they didn't think the internet shit was a real thing then. No one took the internet seriously back then.
Yeah.
No one took any of the internet shit seriously back then. Now it's like everyone lives and dies by it. Back then it was nothing. It was like they didn't believe it. So when you had to go online and, you know, you would Google, you couldn't even Google. There wasn't even Google. You had to like, you just had to type it in the search bar. And if it didn't pop up, you were fucked.
Yep.
You had to know the actual website. If you didn't know it, you couldn't go to anything. There were no search things yet, no search engines. And so, and it was like very, very early days. And so it would be one of the websites you can actually go to, but you couldn't really verify it. There was no way to verify any of it because mm-hmm. you were on the website. So you'd have to just believe what they said. And it was so convincing. But that started it. That basically started what we have to this day. And the thing is that we're talking more about the viral marketing for the movie than the actual movie. I mean, like, if you're not familiar with Blair Witch Project, it's a supernatural horror film. It tells the fictional story of three student filmmakers who hike in the Black Hills near Burkittsville, Maryland in 1994. Jesus Christ.
I was two in 1994.
Oh, my God. To film a documentary about a local legend known as The Blair Witch. Ba-ba-ba-ba. The three disappear, but their video and sound equipment, along with most of the footage they shot, is discovered a year later. The recovered footage is the film the viewer is watching.
Mm-hmm.
So you would go and you'd go to the website, and then the website would be like, it would almost guarantee that you would see the movie. Because it was like reading a short story. It was like reading a novel.
Mm-hmm.
It was like literally reading a series of short stories about the Blair Witch. Fan fiction almost. Not fan fiction, but it accompanied the movie and it enhanced the movie. So when you're watching the movie, there's more to it when you're watching it. But if you watched it without that context, you'd be like, this is boring. But with that context there, sitting in the back of your head, going to the website, it made the movie way more palatable and way more interesting, I felt back then. My parents would agree too because they didn't. I forced them to go. I made them go with me,
uh-huh.
and my mom was like, "I got motion sick. I got motion sickness. I'm moving the camera too much." And my dad was like, "It was boring. It was boring as shit." I'm like, "All right, well, I was like, wasn't it great?" They're like, "What the fuck?" So, but what did you think of Blair Witch, the movie? I mean, obviously the marketing was important, but let's touch on the movie a bit. It was revolutionary.
Loved
it. Was groundbreaking. It.
It
was the first of its kind, and the internet did help that film.
Yeah, and it's funny. My first experience watching The Blair Witch Project was particularly terrifying. I was spending the night at a friend's house.
Oh shit!
And we were and we watched it.
Let's watch a. That's always your solution to.
Let's
hey,
watch
a scary we're having a fun time, and V's like, I'm gonna ruin it with a scary movie, and everyone's freaked out the rest of the night. Thanks a lot, V. We're all.
It wasn't
scared.
My idea because I hadn't seen it. My friend was like, hey.
It was your
let's
friend this time?
Witch
I
Project.
Thought this was your idea.
No, it
wasn't your
idea?
Oh, no.
Watched it, and I was terrified. Yeah. And then we went to go to bed, and I already knew I was going to have trouble sleeping. And I realized that she collects dolls.
Right.
Some of which are hanging from her ceiling, because that's the only place they can put them.
Oh, so what the fuck? What? What like, from their necks?
No, they were
hanging from their necks, just staring at you with their dead eyes.
No, they were like attached by like hooks, like
hooks?
By the shelf.
Holy fuck, like meat hooks?
No, like you couldn't see the hooks.
Okay.
So I was just laying there looking up at the ceiling with like these black shapes.
Yeah.
Like
yeah, way
staring
to go.
Down at me. And they looked like the wood things from the movie. The
yeah,
stupid
the wood,
stick
the
figures.
Wood, the stick people, the wood stick men people that they had. When we went to that horror movie exhibit,
mm-hmm.
the museum, the horror movie exhibit museum thing, they had props from Blair Witch Project. They had the camera and the the film and the videotapes and the old 90s camera. And then they had the stick guy.
They had
one of the stick guys. And I just remember that was creepy enough.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was just a stick guy that like literally you can go out into the woods and make it yourself. Just go to a tree, get some twine.
That movie was all atmosphere.
Just, you could literally make it yourself, and yet somehow seeing it there, it was creepy. Whoever made that, whatever prop department made that, I think it was just the directors did it. They made a really fucking creepy twig guy.
Yeah, I don't know if they had a prop department. That was a super low budget film.
Yeah, I don't think they did. I think they just made it themselves. But man, it was really effective. I don't know. Like, do you think they sat down and workshopped all the twig guys they had? Like, what about this twig guy? I don't think he's that effective. He doesn't scream scary to me. He just screams, I'm desperate. Like, well, we don't want that. And this breaks it in half, throws it. It's like, they're just stick
no,
guys.
No, you don't do that.
They're just
didn't
stick.
You
they made it up.
Didn't you see the sequel?
That's what I'm saying. Then this brings us back to the folklore. So we love the Blair Witch Project. Let's rate it. Well, since we're doing a mini review, out of 10. Out of 10 twig men, what do you give it? 10 twig men.
I'd give it a solid 9.
Nine. Mm-hmm. You know, for something being the first of its kind, and if it's our own personal rating, if I was going with like what audience expectations would be for the movie versus what I would rate it, I would rate it 9 as well. But if I had to think like what an audience is looking for, it would probably be an 8 for an audience.
Yeah.
For an average audience, because it would be good, but they'd be like, eh, but I loved it, so it's a 9 for me. But it might be an 8 for other people. Maybe
that,
less. Who
that
knows?
Movie made me love found footage movies, which
absolutely.
Now everyone hates found footage
movies.
Yeah,
they do now, but it was the first of its kind. It started all of that. Paranormal Activity has to thank it. I mean, Chronicle, that was a superhero movie, basically, by Max Landis, and he can thank Blair Witch Project for coming out. We all can. But success highly weighed upon its internet appeal even in the fucking 90s, which is crazy. That's what it did most of its marketing on was the internet, and it banked on that. People were just so confused by what was going on. They didn't know if it was real or fake.
Didn't the success of the movie ruin Burkittsville's economy because of all the tourism?
I don't, like, for a bit, yeah, for a little while it did, but ultimately...
Well, not now,
fine.
Obviously.
It didn't ruin their economy. Like, it was booming for a bit, but then it just dropped. It might have ruined it after, like, the popularity of the movie stopped being popular. Redundant, you know what I mean? So that leads us to the internet, the viral marketing for creepy stuff sort of took a hiatus for a bit online because after the Blair Witch Project came out, people were like, well, that was bullshit, that was a lie, whatever. Like, so I don't really buy it, I don't really believe it anymore. So it kind of took, like, people were less likely to fall for that trick again because it was like War of the Worlds on the radio. It was like, well, okay, that happened. We're not going to buy that shit again.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, if aliens show up again and we hear it on the radio, that's bullshit. Like, if we see it on TV, it's probably bullshit. But if we hear about this stuff on the internet, it's most likely bullshit. So that's when we first knew to not trust the internet.
Yeah.
It was one of the first times we learned to not trust the internet. Someone betrayed our trust with the internet. Yeah, well, there you go. We figured it out. That's why we'll never trust it again. So I don't know when creepypastas started happening, but, and I don't know when creepypastas started to become a thing, but out of nowhere, the internet was already a dark, creepy, evil place. And then it proceeded to turn into an even darker, creepier, evil place. And creepypastas started sprouting up everywhere. And what is a creepypasta? Well, creepypastas are horror-related legends or images that have been copied and pasted around the internet. These internet entries are often brief, user-generated, paranormal stories intended to scare readers. They include gruesome tales of murder, suicide, and otherworldly occurrences. According to Time Magazine, yeah, Time Magazine is recognizing creepypastas. The genre had its peak audience in 2010 when it was covered by the New York Times. Time Magazine and the New York Times are talking about creepypastas. That's how this shit has boomed since the Blair Witch Project days. In the mainstream media, creepypastas relating to the fictitious Slender Man character came to public attention after the 2014 Slender Man stabbing. Yeah, so we didn't touch upon that in the trailer reaction.
No.
There was a documentary made about that, and we'll talk about Slender Man in a bit, but we'll talk about the controversy quickly. It was really unfortunate. Anyone who is crazy enough to take something off the internet and use it as an excuse to harm or kill another person is looking for that thing anyway. They'll find it. If they're looking for something to, like, it's like they're borderline psychotic. A borderline psychotic just needs, like, that one little thing to push them over the edge. They're just waiting for it. And it's not that they're just waiting for it. They're not well. And when they're not well, they're not getting treated. And that shit happens. And they kind of, and they have that break or whatever. And they do that crazy shit. You can't predict that.
Yeah,
so to blame something that, it's like they used to blame video games.
Mm-hmm.
Before video games, they blamed music.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was TV. So before TV, they blamed music. And then after music, it was TV.
Mm-hmm.
And then after TV, it was movies. And then after movies, it was video games. And after video games, it was back to music, and then back to TV, back to movies, back to video games. Then it was the internet.
Yep.
Then it was the internet. They started blaming the internet. They're running out of things to blame, so they're finally starting to blame the parents, and the parents are getting offended, saying, well, how dare you blame us? You know, you're the ones who are polluting our... And it's like, yeah, but it starts with you, and then they don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
I think sorry, we got to a way bigger subject on that one. Holy shit.
I mean,
it's true. I mean, at the end of the day, like, if you don't want your kids to read creepypastas or to find this Blair Witch shit, you kind of got to do the parenting part and stop them.
Yeah.
Or maybe get them to not do, I don't know. I shouldn't tell people how to raise their kids, but I mean, my folks, like, I didn't tell them I was looking at the Blair Witch Project website. And if I was, they'd probably want to read it because they like Stephen King and they like horror movies, mm-hmm. so they'd probably be curious about it. And we might have bonded over it, but I thought it was like something that was real. But with the Slender Man thing, it was a case where some crazy person took something that was fictitious and used it as a reason to kill somebody.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I was just about to say that makes it, when it comes to the mental side of that, it makes it harder because the people involved were probably too young for anyone to know that something was wrong.
What, like, you can't blame a meme.
No.
Like,
you
can't.
I know.
And you can't and you can't blame the internet to a greater extent, just like you can't blame horror movies and you can't blame video games and you can't blame music. You got to blame either the parents or you got to blame the fucking person does it.
Maybe the person
just needs to take responsibility and say, "You know what? Not the person, but maybe society needs to say, "Hey, we shouldn't hold a mirror to ourselves and say it's our fault. Maybe it's up to the person to accept responsibility for what they did."
No, and I agree
with
that.
Whether they're crazy or not. And if mm-hmm. they're crazy, maybe we have to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. But, you know, again, I'm speaking to bigger societal issues. What I need to talk about is these internet memes. They're so powerful that they affect media. They also affect crazy people into doing crazy shit.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, they're kind of manifesting in a real way, you know, in real life, in real ways.
Mm-hmm.
There's like the Slender Man was a horror meme, and mm-hmm. now it's manifesting. It manifested in a real way,
mm-hmm.
in someone's personal life. Now, that's not to say that it's the actual Slender Man and it's the actual mythology. It's just saying somebody used that as an excuse to do something, whether or not they believed in it or they didn't, whether or not they were, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, it could have been Freddy Krueger. It could have been anything. It could have been Hellraiser. Mm-hmm. Could have been AC/DC.
Yeah.
Could have been Doom, well, the video game.
But just,
you know?
Just the one last point I wanted to put in on that, with especially how young they were, I think... I agree that in no way you should blame the internet and blame Slenderman for that.
I don't want to, I don't want to turn this into a whole, like, we're going to debate the controversial issues of this. Like, I was trying to, I'm trying to champion, like, these internet memes that are really, like, transcending almost space and time, really, which is really cool because, like, they're becoming sort of real life. I don't want to give more credence to this tragedy. It's like, it's something that doesn't really have, like, I'm like, I get it. It has something to do with What's with the memes, like, clearly, because it affected real life, but it was a tragedy, and I'm like, I don't really want to focus on that. Mm-hmm. That's where you draw the line. There we go. That's the distinction between fictitious horror and real world horror. Real world horror, it's not some scary monster in a suit that kills people. It's the monsters are us.
Mm-hmm.
We are the monsters in reality. We are the Slendermen in reality. It's not the memes. The memes are just there. They're a part of us. The memes mm-hmm. are extension of us. So of our darker parts. Wow. Okay. Trying to bring it back around. Sorry. So that being said, I want to hear where you stand on this. Like, okay, so they were influenced.
Well, what I was going to say is I definitely think there was something mental going on there, and with something with how young the people involved were, I think that it is possible that maybe Slenderman triggered that somehow.
It could have been
anything.
I mean, yeah, could have been. They it's like it's almost like, I hate to equate it to that moment in Ghostbusters where they're like, choose the form of your destructor.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what is, what she means is if we think of anything, like if you think your favorite childhood dog, is going to come out and kill all of us. So just empty your heads. It was just somebody who was looking for, like, they're choosing the form of the thing that was going to make them, you know, not choosing mm-hmm. the form, but essentially that their brain was looking up for that thing to latch onto.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it could have, yeah, like you said, it could have been anything really, but they were inspired in a sense, but only in the most abstract way. They were inspired.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The most abstract, like, well, okay, if you draw that line, if you beautiful mind that and try and, like, that, plus that, and then that line gets to that, and it's like, okay, that mm-hmm. doesn't, it does not equate. But, you know, that's when you're dealing with irrational minds, it's a fucking tragedy. So, okay, so that being said, that's where you draw the line of distinction. That's real world horror
yeah.
versus what we're talking about. But it's amazing to think, and I'm fascinated by how real world events can be triggered by these things that were just made up online. They were made up online. Slenderman was voted on. They voted on Slenderman.
Yeah.
Like, people were like, they just were like, hey, pick the creepiest thing. And I think this is on one of the creepypasta websites, because we were just discussing about what actually is it, what constitutes a creepypasta. The term is portmanteau of the words creepy, that's French, I can't pronounce it right. So it's a combination of the words creepy and copy pasta, a word coined on 4chan in 2006 to describe viral copy and pasted text. So instead of copy pasta, creepy.
Creepypasta.
Yep. I mean, the exact origins of creepy pasta are unknown. Early creepy pastas were usually written anonymously and routinely reposted, making the history of the genre difficult to study. But we do know that Slender Man was the first viral, super viral. Like, they were all viral, but the Slender Man was the one that really, like, started popping. But, I mean, Jeff the Killer, I'm not too familiar with the Jeff the Killer mm-hmm. story. I'm sure I've read it at one point and then tried to... That's the thing. I've gone down the creepypasta hole because I went down the Blair Witch hole back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something where you can join in. You don't remember the Blair Witch marketing, right? You never really went online and saw that, but you know mm-hmm. creepypastas.
I mean, kind of.
You sat down and read a bunch one night, I remember. You were just sitting down, and you were just, like, reading. I'm like, what are you doing? You're like, reading creepypastas.
No, I was reading Reddit.
Oh, the two-line horror stories?
No, I was
reading... Those are good, too, and those are applicable to this. Reddit has the two-line horror stories that terrify you. Those are fucked up.
Creepy.
I read, like, I was, like, I started reading them. I'm like, whatever, I'm not going to get scared. And then, like, I got to... I got through like four or five of them and I had to stop.
Oh, we should read more.
No.
Yeah.
You could read that's there. You could literally read those. We could just sit down and read them on the show and just creep ourselves and creep everyone out if we did that.
I've read like 50 of them.
Yeah. Fuck it. And they're two lines and that's all you need from them and it fucks with your head. Because then you finish it. You finish it in your head. And it's worse. Your ending is worse than what they could have come up with because it fucks with your head more. But yeah, those are the two-line horror stories are good. They had creepypasta games for a while, like video game creepypastas. There was always urban legends about Simpson, like the Lost Simpsons episode and the Lost
SpongeBob episode.
There's a Lost Pokemon game and there's a Lost Mario game and there's like there's a Sim character that's like not a Sim character, but there's a Minecraft character and it's like, oh, it's the ghost of the brother of the creator of Minecraft. And it's like, no, he's not dead actually. He's alive. and he posted on Twitter the photo of it and he's like, it was like when, what, John Carpenter was like, I'm not dead, guys. Like, there was a thing going around. People were saying John Carpenter was dead. And there he's like, guys, I'm not dead yet. He's like, yet, basically, but I'm not dead now.
There was a thing about Betty White, too.
Yeah, really?
For a while, everyone thought Betty White died, but she had dyed her hair.
Yeah, right. That's pretty funny. Amazing. Oh, Betty White. They're always, like, really bizarre horror movies. Not horror movie things, but bizarre horror stories. Mm-hmm. You know, always about really, I mean, yeah, creepy. Like, well, we could look up an example. Let's, mm-hmm. I mean, right, like, we're talking about them. Ah, fuck. Oh, my God, they have a creepypasta app. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you want to taste a random pasta? Yes, please. The problem is that they're good creepy stories, but they're long.
They are long.
They're really long. Like, I guess we could just start with the first paragraph of one, right? I mean, we might as well. Here we go. So here's just a random one. Okay, this pasta was the third place winner of our Ghost Stories Creepypasta Writing Challenge. Congratulations. The Tavern on the Borderlands. All right. Cage didn't know if Richie was serious. But then again, he thought it didn't matter. They'd be running down this thin country road for nearly 1.5 hours. Pushing 60 ever since the state line was out of sight. With a speed like that, there wouldn't even be jelly left if they crashed, but Cage didn't really think that mattered either. He almost welcomed the thought. Just get me out of this nightmare, he thought. Just get me the fuck out of this hell. So that's just the first paragraph of The Tavern on the Borderlands. This is by unknown writer. No, I'm sure they have a name. It was a third place winner of their Ghost Stories Creepypasta Writing Challenge. So yeah, there you go. I mean, that's just a little taste of what that story is. I mean, like, you've got an idea. So they all have, like, you know, there's a lot of personality, a lot of flair,
yeah,
a lot of melodrama right at the top. But that's what you love about them. And then, God damn it, we got the creepy two-sentence horror stories. All right, so you're doing Reddit's two-sentence horror stories? Is it our two-sentence?
Thought Catalog.
Oh, it's called Thought Catalog?
It's called Thought Catalog.
Okay, I know Reddit has one, but this is from Thought Catalog. Okay.
Yeah. What?
Two-sentence horror stories, here we go, here's the first. It's just, they're random. Ah, fuck. I hate this shit.
Okay. I can't move, breathe, speak, or hear, and it's so dark all the time. If I knew it would be this lonely, I would have been cremated instead.
Oh, man. Fuck that one. That's bullshit. Hold on. Let me do one. We'll alternate. We'll go back and forth.
Kay.
This one's from Bored Panda. There was a picture in my phone of me sleeping. I live alone.
Oh, God.
Fuck you. All right. You go.
Okay.
These are worse. I mean, like, these are almost like creepypasta style, but they're mm-hmm. more viral. They're really quick. They're like little, like, chocolate nuggets of creepiness.
Oh, God, this one gave me physical chills the first time I read it. It sat on my shelf with thoughtless porcelain eyes and the prettiest pink doll dress I could find. Why did she have to be born still?
Fuck, why do you read those? My sister says that mommy killed her. Mommy says that I don't have a sister. fuck you. All right, one more and then we got to be done with this.
Okay.
These two send ones are, they're really just, you know, some of them are they're zingers. It's like a good like one liner joke. When you hear it, you're like, oh yeah, that's good. It's like, oh fuck, that's horrible. Yeah. But it's good.
They delivered the mannequins in bubble wrap from the main room. I begin to hear popping.
No, it's like that Doctor Who episode where they came alive.
Yeah.
There's a few of them. There's a few Doctor Who episodes where the mannequins came alive. But we'll end on that because otherwise I'll start getting sad. I'll start to get scared. So that's where that shit comes from. The interwebs, of course, viral stuff. I ran across those once, and I mentioned it earlier, but when I started reading them, I got like, we only got into like five or six of them, and I had to stop. I'm like, I can't do anymore. Like, they're fucking with me now. That's where I stand on this stuff. It's like, why would you want to read something that makes you really scared? Why would you want to read something that makes you like uncomfortable and paranoid? Well, why do you watch horror movies? Why do you get on a roller coaster ride? Why do you skydive? Why do you do extreme sports? Why do you go to the horror movies? Or I already mentioned that. But why do you do anything that makes you feel exhilarated, makes you feel alive?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because it does that. It makes you feel exhilarated. It makes you feel alive. Where the mundane, everyday thing, and I remember, and this is funny because we're talking about not viral, but internet horror-related stuff, but it said it was an R shower thought, and this is another one I love from the internet. Not horror-related, but it's just deep thoughts people have while they're in the shower. And it said, you know, the human race is really twisted. We're the only species on the planet that likes to willfully scare itself for pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, legitimately, we're the only species on the planet that will willfully frighten ourselves and scare ourselves and activate that primitive part of our brains for joy.
It's true.
We're fucked up. We are so fucked up. We like being scared. We like it. We get off on it. We're weird. Humans are weird.
Yeah.
But why do we like being scared? We talked about this in the horror movie segment, but this is the internet portion now where this is horror movies. It's linear. You know it's fictitious. The internet stuff, you have a feeling, oh, you know it's fake, but there's that weird part of you that's, oh, it might be real because it's online, you know? And I think that's that weird, that's why we like it. That's why it seems a bit creepier because it's not, it's like a film, a movie is ABC, you know, they were on set, they casted actors, people were paid,
mm-hmm.
it's fiction, you know it's not real. When it's online and it's sort of like posted and viral and cut and pasted and it's on chat rooms and forums and communities, it feels more viral, if not viral, but it feels more underground, it feels more hidden, and then you're like, oh, is it real, is it not real? And because of that uncertainty, most likely it's bullshit, it's not real, but most likely because of that uncertainty, it makes you more interested in it, and not even just more interested, but it makes it even more palatable because you're like, oh, it seems like it could be. Mm-hmm. And because it seems like it could be in your mind, you run away with that idea. What if it is? And then you play with that idea. Every time I say pasta, I want to eat. I'm like hungry now. I want ravioli.
Yeah.
Every time I say pasta, like, I guess we can get to Slender Man now because I'm like, well, I'm trying to think like what creepypasta got me introduced to creepypastas. And I think, unfortunately, I'm a, what is it? A noob? What do you call it when they're not hip? When they're square, I'm a square to creepypasta because the only one I remember is Slender Man, and that's like the commercial like sellout of the creepy. If you want to look at a creepypasta and be like, that creepypasta sold out, it'd be like, fucking Slender Man sold out. Slender Man used to be cool when he was viral. Now he's a fucking Hollywood bitch. It's like, he used to be scary. Now he's gone all Freddy Krueger. He's gone all Hollywood. I mean, it's interesting to think that because this was, Slender Man was, again, and you have the info for the Slender Man. Again, we mentioned that he was the one that kind of introduced people to the creepypasta idea, and that's what Slender Man introduced me to that. I only found out about Slender Man through Let's Play video games. That's how I was introduced to, is it you too?
Well, no, I found out about him through a television
Was it a news show? Yeah?
No, Law and Order Special Victims Unit.
Oh, they talked about Slender Man?
Kind of.
Oh, they talked about something like Slender Man?
The
Thin Man.
They do.
The Gray Man.
They'll give you a disclaimer at the beginning of an episode if that episode is inspired by an actual case. So obviously,
oh, right,
that episode was inspired by the case that was inspired by Slenderman.
Oh, the one we talked about earlier, yeah. Right? What were yeah. You had something about that you wanted to add, right?
Yeah, I just wanted to say on a slightly lighter note that we didn't touch on earlier, she did survive.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That was something
yeah.
we did not mention.
Yeah, we didn't mention, like, I mean, it's all tragedy, it's all horror.
Yeah, it's all
but,
terrible,
but, you know, the intended victim did survive.
She did survive,
sorry,
yes.
We should have mentioned that earlier, but I feel like we concluded that, but yeah, she lived. Yeah, by the way, BT Dubs, she's fine. She's okay. She got it. It was a close call, man, but she's good.
Yep.
All right, so let's so the origins of the Slender Man. Where did this fucking weirdo come from?
So, the Slender Man was created on June 10th, 2009 on a thread in the Something Awful internet forum.
Hmm.
The thread was a Photoshop contest in which users were challenged to edit everyday photographs to appear paranormal. Forum poster Eric Knudsen, under the pseudonym Victor Surge, contributed two black and white images of groups of children, to which he added a tall, thin, spectral figure wearing a black suit. Although previous entries had consisted solely of photographs, Surge supplemented his submission with snatches of text, supposedly from witnesses, describing the abductions of the groups of children giving the character the name the Slender Man.
So it was photos along with like story pieces and
mm-hmm.
like, so it was like there was a whole thing. It wasn't just pictures. Oh, that's cool.
It has the two quotes.
Oh, too. Yeah, great.
The quote under the first PIF photograph read, "We didn't want to go, we didn't want to kill them, but its persistent silence and outstretched arms horrified and comforted us at the same time. 1983, photographer unknown, presumed dead."
Weird.
And the quote under the second photograph read, "One of two recovered photographs from the Sterling City Library blaze, notable for being taken the day which 14 children vanished, and for what is referred to as the Slender Man, deformities cited as film defects by officials." Fire at library occurred 1 week later, actual photograph confiscated as evidence. 1986, photographer Mary Thomas missing since June 13th, 1986.
That's what the photos said?
Mm-hmm.
How many photos?
There were two photos. They don't have the photos on here.
Oh, okay. Well, you described them anyway. Well, it's hard. I mean, you can look it up. I mean, you can look up the Slender Man photos and, like, the origins
yeah.
of it and everything. You can look all this up. Just Google it. Google Slender Man. But, yeah, let's get more into his origins. So then what? So from there, what happened to the Slender Man? How did we? And then he was Hollywood bound. This is like Slender Man behind the music.
Knudsen was inspired to create the
Slender Man. I'm going to turn into the Slender Man.
Primarily by Zach Parsons' That Insidious Beast, Stephen King's The Mist, Reports of Shadow People, Mothman, and The Mad Glasser of Mattoon. I have
no idea
what that
last one is. I'm curious now. That sounds like fun. The Mad Glasser of what?
Gasser. Mad Gasser of Mattoon.
The Mad Gasser of Mattoon?
Yeah.
I want to see, is that a movie? I want to watch that movie. Is it a book? I want to read it. What is that? The Mad Gasser of Mattoon? Wait, that sounds like he, doesn't it sound like that's a guy who just kind of farts all the time? The Mad Gasser?
It does.
Maybe I'm just looking for a bad fart joke, but man,
maybe.
I just think that, like, it just sounds like the guy's the Mad Gasser of Mattoon. He sounds like a mischief maker.
He does.
He sounds like a real shit.
He's just a big, like, pool of inspiration. Other inspirations for the character were the tall man from the 1979 film Phantasm.
Yes, Phantasm.
H.P. Lovecraft, the surrealist work of William S. Burroughs, and the survival horror video games Silent Hill and Resident Evil.
Oh, dope, dope, dope. I love Silent Hill. I loved Silent Hill. Like, Resident Evil was good. I always dug Resident Evil, but Silent Hill, yes. I wonder what characters inspired... I have to go back in my brain stem to remember the Silent Hill characters. There were
mm-hmm.
a few that were really creepy and off in the distance. They looked skinny, but they were kind of distorted.
Well, they have a quote from Knudsen saying what his intention was, and maybe that'll help you remember.
Oh, right on, yeah.
It says, "Knudsen's intention was to formulate something whose motivations can barely be comprehended and which caused unease and terror in a general population."
Hmm. Yeah, that would do it. I mean, again, when you look at the photos of Slender Man and you look at him, I mean, like, basically, like, the best description you could have is it looks like if you were to draw a picture of, like, the most basic stick figure kind of guy in a suit. That's what Slender Man is. Mm-hmm. He's nondescript. There's a hint of a face, but not really. There's no hair. The arms are longer than the body. He's usually in a suit. Sometimes the tie's red. Sometimes it's black. Depends on his mood, really. Depends on the day. Or if he pressed one tie and not the other. I don't know. Slender Man's busy. He has dry cleaning to pick up. I don't know. What kind of job do you think Slender Man has? He wears a suit. Do you think he's like a? Do you think he's an accountant?
No.
Do you think Slender Man's an accountant? I'm just trying to think. He wears a suit. What is he, an investment banker? What the fuck does he do? What does Slender Man do that he has to wear a suit? I'm like, what do you do? What do you do, Slender Man, that you wear a suit? What are you up to? And he's just be like, I'm just trying to look dapper. I just want to look fancy.
They talk about other pre-existing fictional or legendary creatures which are similar to the Slender Man.
Okay.
One of which is a favorite of you and I, which is the Gentleman from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, we've discussed this before, mm-hmm. actually, and you've actually mentioned this in the past. I mean, he's been inspired by a lot of weird different characters. I'm sure even Nosferatu, if you even want to, like, black and white Nosferatu from a distance, just looks like a really tall, long-armed weird figure.
Oh, yeah.
From like black and white, like, you know, black in a black suit, you know, mm-hmm. like not really a suit, more of like a count outfit, cloak thing,
whatever, yeah.
Thing. So yeah, they're making a Slender Man movie now.
They are. I'm which really is crazy about it.
Which is crazy because this all started with just like a competition, I guess, a contest, mm-hmm. just to see, was this a prize? What was the prize?
That's crazy.
Was
I
the
don't
prize
know.
Was cash money? Slender Man was in for the dollar bills. Fuck bitches, make money.
Well,
Slender Man.
I feel like some internet contests like that, it's not even like there might not have been a prize other than like if it was Reddit, maybe you were featured on the front page or like.
Sure. Yeah.
Like you just win number one.
Man,
you know,
this guy's
fun.
He better be making bank off of the likeness rights because owns the name Slender Man. He better have copywritten this shit. I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did. I'm sure he does. I hope so. God, I hope so. If not, he's getting ripped off, man.
Yeah.
And I hate to say that if he is, because like that's just the way it's just the way it is sometimes, guys.
Yeah. And his addition to folklore is really interesting too.
Yeah.
Like there's a book that was written by I think a professor. It was in here. In her book Folklore Horror Stories and the Slender Man, the development of an internet mythology, Professor Shira Chess of the University of Georgia connected the Slender Man to ancient folklore about fairies.
What?
Like fairies, Slender Man is otherworldly with motives that are often difficult to grasp. Like fairies, his appearance is vague and often shifts to reflect what the viewer wants or fears to see. And like fairies, the Slender Man calls to the woods. So, yeah.
Huh. So, Slender Man is related to fairies.
Kind of.
Because the fairies are in the woods, and they take people.
Uh-huh.
Slender Man's in the woods. He takes people.
He's also, children specifically, he's also been connected to the Pied Piper.
He tends to not be so picky. If you happen to be around and he's there, but then his abilities, everyone's like, well, what happens? He's scary. Ooh, what happens? And it's like, well, he takes you, and it's like, well, where's he take you? And we're like, I don't know. Well, where?
Do you maybe go, they're fine.
Does
we
he take
know.
You to hell? Does he like the Grim Reaper? Does he just take you? Do you just die and he just takes you to heaven or hell or heck, which is in between?
I don't know.
What the fuck? What do you do? Where are we going? We going to the mall? like where are you taking me, man? It's just like we going to the movies? Like what's going on? And it's like, where does he take you? And is he like the Weeping Angels in Doctor Who, if you're not familiar? They're an enemy who can bend space and time. Basically, if you're touched by a Weeping Angel, they're stone statues that when you don't look at them, they move.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at them, they freeze. They're fucking creepy.
They are creepy.
They're horrible and they're horrifying. Don't mm-hmm. ever, don't even blink. Don't even think
don't
about
blink.
It. If you ever run into one, don't even fucking blink. And it's hard to tell. If you're ever on statues, just keep an eye out. Don't blink. So if they touch you, you go back in time.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you go forward in time. I can't remember, but they send you back in time.
They displace you in time.
They displace you in time, and then you are stuck. Wherever you end up, you mm-hmm. die. It's like the doctor in the Doctor Who series said, the Weeping Angels kill you in probably the most cruel way ever. They kill you with a long life. It's just you're displaced.
Mm-hmm.
So all of your friends and family, they haven't been born yet. That none of your life has happened, and you're in a whole other era.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to live your whole life in that whole other era.
Yep.
and you die slowly in another time period.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe Slender Man does something like that,
maybe,
where he displaces you in time and space. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know, like, there's a lot of different theories as to what he is. And you could almost go down the route of what It is in the It movies and the book, mm-hmm. It, Pennywise the Clown. What It is It an, is It an alien from another planet? Is It a demon? Mm-hmm. Is It a ghost? Is It a witch? What is It?
Yeah.
And what makes It so scary, I think, well, in the book and in the movie, they'll have a resolution, I'm sure, but in the book there's a resolution, TV series there was.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I like the idea of keeping it ambiguous, because Slender Man is ambiguous.
Yeah,
but you could go
absolutely
down the route of he's an alien, they like he abducts people. I mean, he looks like one of the gray aliens that you always see with the big eyes. It's just he doesn't have the big eyes.
Yeah.
And he's wearing a suit. I mean, you could argue that. His head isn't big, it's slender,
mm-hmm.
like the rest of him.
Yeah.
Very svelte man. And he could be a demon, he could be a ghost.
Yeah.
But it's more interesting to think, I mean, he could be an interdimensional being that's like just taking us to his dimension. But what mm-hmm. does he do? What do we do there? Do we just go there and look funny?
The one thing I haven't done, which I'm kind of want to do now, is look up people's creations or theories of what happens when
oh yeah there's
you.
Plenty of fan theories and speculation, and there's communities, and there's whole like series of stories written. The Slender Man Chronicles, I'm sure. You know, they're probably gonna turn Slender Man into a new horror movie franchise.
I bet.
If it does well. If mm-hmm. Slender Man does well, they'll try and turn it into like Insidious or
Conjuring.
And mm-hmm. I'm like, that's fine. I mean, when you've got something that has such an interesting visual aesthetic and is so unknown, you can almost tap dance on that unknownness forever.
Yeah.
It's like, mm-hmm. And I hate saying that, but you can almost, like, you can always, it's like with Lost, you could always give a little bit, get J.J. to do the franchise, get J.J. Abrams, because he would just, like, tease a little bit here and there. He'd be like, oh, here's Mystery Box, here's a little bit, what is it? Oh, it's mystery.
I don't know, I say James Wan.
James Wan?
Mm-hmm.
You're obsessed with James
Wan.
We'll
see how this
guy does.
Why
are you obsessed with James Wan?
Because he's so good.
But
what
has
he
directed? I don't think he's bad, but you specifically are obsessed with specifically James Wan.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because all the James Wan movies I've seen are good.
What has he directed?
He did all the Insidious movies.
Okay.
He did The Conjuring 2, Annabelle Creation. He did Lights Out.
Oh, he did Lights Out?
He did Lights Out.
Oh, wow. That was a fucked up movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that was a viral thing, too. Lights
yeah.
Out? Remember that? That was the lady.
It was a short film.
If you're not familiar with Lights Out, it started off as a short film, and then that short film went viral, and it financed the movie, which James Wan ended up directing,
mm-hmm.
which is really cool, because he
yeah.
loved the idea. He loved the concept. And the short film is creepy in and of itself. And it not really related with Slender Man, but
other than the monster kind of looks like him a little.
Well, it's a lady, but in the short, it's a lady who's closing down shop in like a mannequin factory or whatever. And she turns off the lights and it looks like there's a mannequin standing in the dark, turns it back on and it's not there.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, okay. And she turns off the light and it looks like it's there again. Turns it on, turns it off. She's like, huh, it's there. It's not there. It's there. It's not there. And then she turns it off again and it's a bit closer. She's like, what? Turns it on. Not there. Turns it off. It's a bit closer. And then she keeps doing that. And then I'm
mm-hmm.
like, no, leave. And in the movie, in the short, she keeps doing it for a while and shit happens in the short.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to break it down too much, but go watch it. But in the movie, she does it and then she runs off and leaves the light on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's what I would do. I would mm-hmm. leave the light on and get the fuck out of there. And in the movie, she does. And I'm like, smart woman. But in the short, you got to watch it to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And they used the same actress.
They did.
Mm-hmm. But that was another viral thing. And it just goes to show that, I mean, like any good art form, comedy, it doesn't matter, drama even. If, you know, just because it's on the internet, it doesn't mean it's going to be successful, but it also doesn't mean it's going to be unsuccessful.
Mm-hmm.
It just means that if it has a life on the internet, maybe it can go off and be a successful franchise.
Yeah.
Like Slender Man could possibly be. But we got to get this first movie out. It's just crazy to think this thing fucking jumped to this point. It started off as a viral thing, just an image online that was creepy, and then people kept adding on it and building on it and building on it, and the snowball effect happened, and now he's all fucking Hollywood. He's
mm-hmm.
got like sunglasses on. He's walking out. He's strutting down the street.
Doesn't have eyes.
Yeah, I know, but he's wearing. He still looks cool. Like, imagine if Slender Man's wearing sunglasses. Like, he's just standing in the. He would. First of all, he'd cease to be scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Second of all, he'd be funny, but kind of cool too.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh yeah, you're like Chester Cheeto or whatever, Slender Man. I'm comparing him to Chester Cheeto. Or if he took me, I hope he took me somewhere cool.
Like the mall.
Yeah, like the mall. Give me some sunglasses. Well, I guess that's going to wrap it up for all the creepiness. I mean, if there's anything else we can add, I mean, we've touched upon the creepy factor, but do you find Slender Man creepy?
Yes.
Do you think he's, like,
I don't know why.
That's what I was saying. Because we were there from the beginning of the character. Like, mm-hmm. We know where he came from. I said this in our trailer reaction. Again, go watch it. Simmer Mike, it's the YouTube channel. Follow our tweets at Team Awesome Inc. We'll wrap this up here really quick with our final thoughts. But I remember thinking, God damn it. You know, this fucking Slender Man thing, I'm scared of it. I don't know why. Because I've seen it from its inception. I saw it when it was just a dumb idea in a photo contest. But I've seen it grow. And now it's a real thing. And even when I watch the YouTube videos of, like, the Markiplier or whoever playing the video game and getting scared, I get scared by the image. I get scared by the idea, and I get scared of that happening. Mm-hmm. And when I look at the images online and I look at the trailer and I see read the short stories, I'm like, this is scary. I'm scared by this character. I'm scared by this concept.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like being scared of, like having you got a kitten, right? And the kitten grows up and it's a grown-up. And then but you're scared of it. It's like being scared of that. It's like it's like I was there when it was born. I helped raise it. I watched it grow up, and now I'm afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird feeling to have. I guess that would be like if you had a dog that, like, just grew up evil.
Yeah,
Cujo. Maybe like Cujo style. I don't know. What do you think about Slender Man? You're scared. You find him creepy, but do you feel that same sort of weirdness, like where you're like, why am I scared? I know what he is. I've seen the zipper on the side of the monster, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm still scared of it.
Yeah, I don't know.
What the fuck? Is it just the idea? Is it just, whoever that guy was, you said his name earlier, but he will go unnamed for now. He just really figured out what it was that scares us.
Yeah.
Like, image-wise, just that image. To the point where we know that image, we're like, God, fuck, that image.
Yeah.
It fucks with my head. See it, and it's, polar bear rules.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I gotta eat to survive. If you're moving in the snowy tundra and you're moving, I can eat you, your food, I will eat you. If I'm out in the woods, I'm Slender Man, I'm out in the woods, and I'm gonna take people to the mall? I don't know where he's, again, I don't know where he takes you, but if I'm Slender Man, I take you places like Uber. It's like the Slender Man app. Your Slender Man picks you up. And he takes you to your stop. My Slender Man got a bad review. Oh, I don't like this Slender Man. He asked me about my day. Ugh. Just take me. I thought you were going to take me. Just take me. Don't ask me about my day. Sorry. Doing Uber jokes about Slender Man now. Online, it's scary when you're alone, but then when you realize that everyone is kind of scared by it, and then it's turned into sort of this global thing, you're like, oh, cool. Not alone, I guess.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
And also, it's not that scary.
But it is.
Well, right. Going through all of the crap that we've discussed tonight, if I had to pick, like, and not even pick, but, like, if I had to, like go through what I felt was, like, most effective as far as, like, obviously Slender Man is effective because he's getting his own movie, but if I had to pick something that I felt was really, like, it was, like, more bang for your buck and really unexpected. I mean, the creepypastas are great, but you got to sit there and read them for a long time, and that's not bad. I'm like, oh, you got to sit there and read. Who wants to fucking read? But it's like, they're good. If you want to sit and have a good read, they're a good read.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want something that's going to be a quick 1-2 punch, and you just want to, it's like, look, I just want to get to the scary. I don't want to wait for the effects of being afraid. I want to be afraid now. Mm-hmm. It's like, you can't wait. You don't want a beer. You don't want a glass of wine. You want a shot. You want to get drunk right away. It's like, I don't want to be slowly scared. I want to be scared now.
Yeah.
Then I'd say the 2-sentence horror story ones would probably be the most effective and most bang for your buck. You sit down, you get like basically a series of short stories, and you can keep reading them and fucking with your head. And it's sort of like flipping the channels on TV, but it's all horror.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all like contained little stories. Maybe just any creepypasta that you can find. I mean, it's worth looking into the original stuff, like Jeff the Killer, Slender Man, obviously, and all the other stuff. The internet is just as effective at being entertaining in multiple ways as film and TV. And if I could be so bold as to say, I think the internet can be more effective at scaring people. Because it can do it in more creative ways that movies and TV can't. Movies and TVs are more linear with entertainment. They have to give you entertainment in a, it's in your face, it's a show, there's a beginning, middle, and end, there's credits, there's an intro. Like, but with the internet, it's just you find what you want to look for and you read about it, or you look it up and you look at the photos, or you watch the videos, and that's that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I.
So in a way, I think that's more effective because it's like you're choosing your own adventure to a degree. But I don't know. That's where I stand.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. I think that whether it's something scary or something funny or any other emotion, it's really amazing that, like, if I'm sitting there reading two sentence horror stories,
yeah,
there could literally be millions of other people being scared by the exact same thing that I'm being scared of.
Yeah, right. And right, it's then just wild to think that. Yeah.
So I think it's great.
And that's a really cool moment too, because, and also it gives you hope too, because if you're like a horror, a budding horror writer or short story horror writer or whatever, you've got a chance with the creepypastas, you know, you really do if you want to give it a shot, and you maybe get some stuff looked at or published. Not even published, I think they just posted, but I think they publish it to a degree, and you could win contests and you could sort of, you know, be a part of a fun community and have a good time with it. So I get it. Yeah, so I guess that's going to do it for this geek out. We've geeked out plenty on viral horror movie stuff.
For sure.
We mentioned it before, we'll say it again. YouTube channel is Simmer Mike. Go there for our trailer reactions, our music video reactions, I don't know, live streams and all the other shit that we're doing, challenges. We got those coming up. I can't remember when, but we got them coming up. Instagram.
At @team_awesomeinc. Right. And you can also follow me on Twitter at @creepysexynerdy.
That's right. You can hit us up on Stitcher Podcast Radio, as well as iTunes and Podomatic, Podbay, anywhere where you can get podcasts, basically. Oh, yeah. YouTube, Simmer Mike, all caps. Simmer Mike. Like I'm shouting at you. I mentioned that, didn't I?
Yep.
This has been Team Awesome. Team Awesome. Jack. Team Awesome Inc.
Wink, wink.
Shut up.
Yeah.